Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And today we're going to talk stock cars with driver Jason Schlangen. We're also going to hear from Bob Allen from Arlington Raceway, Darren Toot from Hancock County Speedway, and our old friend Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Kevco drive shafts are 100% American-made in the USA with USA-sourced materials, using precision machine yokes offering more clearance and higher strength than any shaft on the market. All drive shafts are meticulously hand-built and balanced on our new Superior Driveline's Shaftmaster machine. Kevco drive shafts has the ability to build carbon fiber drive shafts loaded with Spicer 1310 solid body non-greasable U-joints for superior strength. Kevco also offers U-joints, U-bolts, slip yokes, and anything you need for your drive shaft. Call them today, 800-770-3557, or online at kevcoracing.com.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Extreme!
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Ever dreamed of a replica of your race car? VT's 3D Prints are a local business designing and printing custom 3D mini replicas of race cars. This is a unique way for racers and race enthusiasts to showcase their favorite race cars. VT's 3D Prints also creates championship trophies and custom cars for banquets and special occasions. See VT's 3D Prints on Facebook or call Dylan at 605-261-0197. For a gift that they will never forget.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers. From H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299 or see zachstrailersales.com, where service is right in their name.
For the past 54 years, the Mizgan family has been making an impact on our planet. Hi, this is Jim Mizgan from Mizgan Auto Parts. We started our business back in 1972. Can you imagine what our planet would look like today if we didn't choose to recycle? When you need quality used parts, engines, transmissions, or if you want to recycle an old vehicle or even a pile of scrap, contact us at Mizgan Auto Parts, 507-684-2100. And now, even more than ever, recycle we must. And in God we trust.
This is Justin Melky from Melky Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on the Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on the Driver Segment, and I am joined by stock car driver Jason Schlangen. And Jason, when I think of racing, certain cities come to mind. Fairmont, Knoxville, Fountain City, Brandon, Decorah, and Cresco. You live in Cresco, Iowa. What a great location for a race driver with a lot of racing history and a lot of racing opportunities nearby.
Yeah, it's a good place to live. There's West Union, Decorah close. West Union is about 45 minutes. Decorah is about 20 minutes. Reach out a little bit. We got Fountain City. It's a little under 2 hours away, and Mason City and Deer Creek. There's all kinds of places to go racing around here. So not a bad place to be.
The stories I've heard of the Howard County Speedway in Cresco go way back to Mert Williams in his heyday, when fans would stand up and cheer when they saw his hauler approaching. What is your history at that track? Because that fence that's covered with ivy and those old wooden grandstands, what a cool place to watch a race.
Well, I grew up, Dad raced. Dad started in 69, so pretty much since I was born, Dad was racing. mostly Cresco. So I remember going to the races there pretty much as long as I can remember back. I'm sure I was there 5 or 6 years ago watching races. So it's definitely a staple to my racing history.
What classes did your dad race and how long did he race?
He raced from 69. I don't even know what the classes were. There's modified street stock at one point. And I think when he first started, they were still running six cylinders or just starting to run six cylinders or something. That was far before my time. But when he ended, he was running a hobby stock. I got started as I turned 16 and he was racing, getting to the point where he was getting, I guess in his words, I'm still sore Sunday. So it's getting to the point I need to think about hanging it up. And I turned 16 and asked if I wanted to run the car for mechanics race. So I went and ran that. And didn't wreck nothing. So he asked if I wanted to run the special at the end of the year and went and ran that.
Obviously, that's where you acquired a lot of your skills in building, because back then you didn't just order parts. You had to go to the junkyard and scrounge for them or build them yourself.
Yeah, we were running all pretty much stock stuff back then and go out to the junkyards. Or back when I first started, I used to buy a bunch of the G-body stuff and, you know, just go buy a car for $75, $100 and take all the front end off it, and floor control arms and all that stuff. And you couldn't use the body parts. You could make stuff a lot cheaper.
Man, the days of buying a car for $75 are long gone.
Oh, yeah. I kind of miss those days, though. I got an 85 Cutlass that's sitting here that is in too good a shape to be a race car, so I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with it. A friend actually bought it and was going to fix it up and passed away, so I inherited it. Hardly any rust on it, so it's not a race car donor or anything. Got to find something fun to do with it.
Maybe when you retire, you'll do some drag racing.
That sounds really expensive. I have more fun with the circles, so I don't. Drag racing's never really tripped my trigger that much.
Another nearby track is Decorah. Is there actually a true straightaway somewhere on that track? Because it seems you guys are in full left turn all the time.
If you're running way down in the bottom, then you get a straightaway. You come off down by that bottom tire and you go straight and kind of arc back into the corner. You get too high on it, then the car drives kind of folding up. So you got to kind of stay down and make your own straightaway on it. If you're running up top, no, it's, you know, pretty much, you got maybe 15 feet of straightaway before you're starting to turn into the next corner. It's a fun little joint, though.
It is a very cool little joint. The one thing I'm amazed, it's right directly inside the residential area, and everybody seems to be fine with that.
They've had a lot of fights over the years. There's been a lot of people that have tried getting the place shut down. They got a noise ordinance. It's like 10:30 or something like that they got to be done by. And there are some people that don't like it. Some people have moved across the street and didn't like the noise. And the racetrack was there far before you decided to move it. So always going to have those people. That's why I've been really happy. A lot of these states have put that racetrack protection deal into law. It's been a year, year and a half they started doing that.
What is the story behind your very first stock car? The green and black car. How did you obtain it, and how did you do in that car?
It was green and purple. I bought it from Doug Borgloff over in Spencer. I don't think he races anymore, but I think he's got one or two boys that still race. Back then, we were on a hobby and hobby stock, which I guess you'd call them outlaw hobby back then. Most of the state had kind of turned over to the 9-to-1 compression and the 7-inch tires, and we were still on whatever motor we wanted as long as we had the Rochester 2-barrel on it. And we could run an 8-inch tire still, so I wanted to move up to stock car just so we could, actually travel a little bit and go see some different tracks and stuff like that. And so we went and bought that, and back then IMCA was still on the American. We could buy American Racers and go run some IMCA stuff and come back and groove them and run the same local tracks. And so we bought that, and God, I think we ran close to 59 a year, traveling all over the place and running different shows. I think we took that car to Louisiana that winter after my first year, going to a 5,000-to-1 IMCA show that was last weekend in January. It was a lot of fun. We ran good with it, but we didn't really know a lot back then, so I ran the whole year and kind of struggled every time a track would slick off, and come to find out the rear end was bent, and that was killing us any time the thing got slick. So we definitely didn't run as good as I'd like to with it.
I found a great photo of one of your cars. The quote says, "Here's a picture of my ugly ass B-Mod, but at least it was fast. The car was covered with trophies. What's the story behind that car?"
That was custom. It was a copy of a pro chassis. I was running Echo Valley Speedway back then, and they decided they were going to create a class there. Like then Mason City was running a B-Mod class, and I think Independence was. And there really wasn't anybody else that had one besides those two tracks anywhere local. And I'd always really liked the B-Mods and Modifieds, and that's where I wanted to end up. A-Mod is what I wanted to race. So we still had the stock car, so Dad owned the stock car, so I went out and bought a B-Mod and cut it apart and moved a bunch of stuff around and put it together, and that thing, I got lucky and did something right because that thing worked. I'd never been in a car that worked as good as that thing did. We ended up winning, 15 out of 20 shows, got second, two thirds, and then two DNFs. But even the nights, the DNFs I had was driving to the front. I mean, that thing was, it was ungodly fast. But back then, it wasn't like it is now where you got all the newer cars, and this was 2005. Back then, people didn't share a lot of information. There wasn't a lot of information online that you could find that you could really get good information to, you know, really understand the cars and figure out what you got to do to make them work like you can now. You didn't have a shot guy you could call or something like that that would, you know, help get you straightened out. So that kind of helped me because a lot of other people were struggling getting their cars to work, and I got lucky and worked right off the bat.
Your yellow B-Mod with the blue numbers, was that your last mod before getting back into the stock car division? Because that thing was fast.
Yeah, it was fast as a B-Mod. I struggled with it. When we were on A-Mod, I struggled with that thing. Something awful. That thing was wheeled up so hard that I couldn't get the thing in the corner. It would twist the car up so hard that when I let out of the gas, it would dump it and shoot it forward about a car length and a half, and it was just unruly. Didn't help that I think we only ran, maybe 13, 14 nights that year. I had my son in 2007, so his mom wasn't real big on racing, so that really put a hamper on going and trying to race a bunch, so I was only running 12, 13, 14 nights a year, and then trying to figure out the modifying stuff, because I just moved up in 2007. So it took us all a year to figure out that I had a progressive pull bar spring in it, and it would just get so much action, it would just run it into the spring so hard that it'd bottom it out, and then when it bottomed the spring out, it'd just twist the car up like a pretzel and make it do all kinds of weird stuff. And then we kind of ran out of money that year, and I was actually decided I was going to quit, and Dad took our old craft car and was going to build a B-Mod out of it, and he was going to go race some yet. And I ended up getting in the B-Mod at the beginning of the year just to shake the thing down and get the car to work, so when he got in, and you know, he's at least in something that works, and ended up never getting out of it and actually started having fun racing again. So I don't know if that was his plan or not, but it worked.
I am so glad that you decided not to retire, because it really seems like you are at the top of your game right now and can literally win anytime, anywhere.
We've been running pretty strong lately since we moved back to stock car. We were running good in B-Mod too, but I really wasn't putting the effort in when I was running B-Mod that I am now. We weren't running the nights. I wasn't working on the car as much. Not definitely. Everything's so technical now, and one little thing is off, and your car is off. And until you figure it out, you're just struggling trying to figure out where the speed is. So a couple years ago, I got a place out in the country. Finally moved all the stuff out here, so I don't have to go into Dad's to work in the car, so I can just go out to the shop and work in the car 3-4 nights a week now. And that seems like it's helped a lot, just keeping everything tip-top and making sure maintenance-wise, we're definitely going to the track with something that's capable of winning.
One of my favorite stock car tracks right now is Mason City Motor Speedway.
It's a fun little joint. My favorite track of all time is Oskaloosa. If you've ever been down Oskaloosa, it's just big and wide open, and you can just hammer it into the corner and the thing sticks, and it's just fast. I've always kind of liked the bigger momentum, high-speed tracks. Those seem like the ones I've always been able to run better on. enjoy running them for some reason. These little bull rings like Decorah and Mason City and tracks like that, it took a while to kind of figure out how to get around them and how to be more technical driving and not overdriving the car so bad. I think that's kind of why I like the bigger tracks. I have a tendency to overdrive the car. And on the bigger tracks, you can kind of get away with a little more. Little ones, you pay for it if you're overdriving them.
Your black car literally looked like a stealth bomber. All black, no sponsors, and a very aggressive stance. It was literally ready to turn laps on dirt, like you said. Get it ready in the shop, get to the track, and you know everything's dialed in.
Yeah, we actually put a wrap on it this year, so it looks quite a bit different now. It don't look so plain like it has for between the stock car and the B mod. I've had a black car for 5 years now, that same black and orange. So it was time to do something a little different, and it turned out really good.
We saw you last July make one of the most incredible saves in all of the races we've ever seen at Dodge County Speedway at the Dodge County Fair in Cassin. Your suspension broke, and I still to this day don't know how you kept from stuffing that car straight into the wall.
That was the steering shaft fell off. Somehow it vibrated off the box, and the lock nut was still on, and the set screw was still tight. Somehow, a little after the center of the corner, all of a sudden, front end just took off up the track, and I went to steer it, and I didn't do nothing, and piled in the brakes and gassed it a little bit to get it to rotate. Try to get it to rotate, and it didn't. And I got pretty lucky there that the wall kind of sweeps out there. It gave me the extra 2-3 foot of room I needed to not end up in the fence. It was definitely a hairy situation. Could have ended way worse than it did, so that was one of the few times I felt like I got lucky last year.
And you've run at the Dodge County Speedway in Cassin before, and one thing people know, if a track doesn't get used regularly, and they only have one or a few events there every year, it can get some definite character in that track.
I didn't think it was that bad. There was a little character to it, but I've been there when it was way worse. We're only running one night through the year. I think Whitstein did an amazing job with that place. I mean, the track was in tip-top shape for not being raced on, and he spent all night working on it, trying to get us the best track it could, and there was multiple lanes, and I really can't say enough about the way they ran that race. I mean, I was really impressed with what they did running that race, especially for them not having, a ton of time promoting races.
And when you look at the stands, the fans really appreciate it too, because it was packed.
Yeah, the stands were packed. We did our redraw right in front of the grandstand, so we got to walk out there. And I mean, it was packed. There wasn't many seats left in there that you could have snuck into. So I hope they keep getting that. It'd be nice to see them put on, 2, 3, 4 shows, kind of like Cresco does a year. They got a really good track there. I've always really liked that track.
Then we saw you in September at Mason City Motor Speedway. Your left front ball joint broke, followed by your left rear shock mount a few laps later. And I spoke to you that night in the pits, and the bad luck streak, it just kept plugging along. You'd have one good race, and then it would come back to bite you.
Yeah, it just seemed like the car was bound and determined not to finish that race. It went off in the first corner and it busted the left front ball joint. So that was broke pretty much instantly, which 3 and 4, I could get into the corner on the gas. So it really didn't affect me there, but 1 and 2, it kind of had to get out of the gas to get the thing in, or it slammed the nose. And by the time I was done, it had dirt shoved in everywhere. There was dirt shoved in between the frame and the motor. The whole center of the frame was packed full of dirt, and the frame rail was packed full of dirt. And I bet I had an extra 200 pounds of dirt shoved in the left side between everything. Figured out how to make it work enough that we were holding on to the lead, and still that left rear shock mount broke. Then it spun around and locked the car down so the car wouldn't hike. And then I was dragging the cross member down the straightaway. I kind of figured it's time to just pull up out of the way. I'm done. We had bad luck with that. We broke 5, 6, 7 ball joints last year. I think we kind of figured out what was going on with it. But between ball joints and power steering belts, we started out in the Serpentine deal, and we broke 4 or 5 of them, and then went to V-belt, and rolled a couple V-belts off, and we had a heck of a time with power steering last year. I lost power steering, got 7 or 8 times last year. That's what happened at 10,000 to win in Deer Creek. I was running second in that, and the power steering belt rolled off. And tried rustling it around for 4 or 5 laps. And definitely slowed down, but was kind of doing it. And then it steers dang hard. It hit a bump and popped my shoulder out of socket. And then I was done. I couldn't rustle it one-handed. Then I was just trying to go as fast as I could so I could get to a place where I could actually pull off the track and not cause a wreck. And so I'm hoping that stuff's all figured out and we can actually get through this year without a third of the nights being DNFs.
You did have a successful season at Sports Park in Fort Dodge. That's a great track for fans, and the drivers that race there seem to really love it.
Yeah, I really like that place. I was kind of sad that they went to IMCA this year because I'd kind of planned on trying to go over there 2 or 3 more times next year, but that's kind of the track I like. As Echo was kind of built more like that, kind of a little longer sweeping corners, quite a bit of banking. And those are the tracks I really just feel comfortable in. And that was the first night I ever run there, and I felt comfortable as could be and was having a blast. Really wasn't expecting to be able to beat the 21 car there, Miles McHale. He's fast everywhere. I just got kind of lucky there and caught him slipping up a little bit, and we got to trade sliders there for 2 or 3 laps, and that was one of the funner races I've had last year.
And another fun race, you won night 2 of the stock car portion at Deer Creek of the Fall Jamboree, and you did it in dominant fashion.
Yeah, I started in the outside front row and tried running the top, and it was kind of greasy, crummy up there. I was trying to kind of burn a lane in and stayed up there longer than I should have, I think, but fell back to 4th, 5th, 6th, something like that, and kind of found something right through the holes. I could get the car in and use the rut to kind of set the car, and the car had set and traction up right away, and the thing would just take out of the corner like a rocket after that. And moved down and got those ruts, and everybody was kind of running right around the hub at that point, and drove back to lead, and just good. There was a lot of good cars there, too, for that deal. Definitely makes you feel pretty good when you can win an Ironman show and beat the caliper of drivers that are running that deal.
You made the trek to the USRA Nationals in October, but the bad luck continued. I'm sure at that point you were ready to park it for the season.
Yeah, definitely. I went down the first night and didn't really run that good in the heat. Put us 13th in B, drove up to 4th, got a caution. The guy I was kind of following around the top side was kind of slowing up a little bit. There was a big rut through 1 and 2, so I decided to go to the bottom and went down to the bottom, and the guy was running down there, kind of messed his line and brake checked it in the middle of the corner and drove down to the bottom. By the time I got in the brakes, I locked up the brakes trying to not hit him and ended up taking him out and spinning myself out. Then I got stuck to the back and ended up getting to the back of somebody, and I think I peeled the ear on the radiator cap back or something. The last corner of the last lap, the radiator cap blew off going into 3 and shot us right off the track into the wall and destroyed a bunch of stuff in the right front, upper and lower, and spin alarm. I don't remember what else. There was a bunch of stuff, wrecked rim, tire. Then we got it all fixed and put back together and went out for the second night, went out for the heat race, and the thing wouldn't go into high gear when I hit the wall. It turned the motor a little bit so the shift linkage wouldn't come back far enough to get it into high gear. So that stuck us starting last in the E, ran all the way from the E to the B, then they had a parking lot in 3. So I went off in 3 and looked, and the guy was kind of the top of the track, and there was room in between him and the wall up top. There was no way I was getting down underneath everybody. So I thought I'll just, you know, roll it and get up to the top. And I'd kind of forgotten that 3 and 4 don't go all the way to top. You get that flat layoff spot that is up there. So when I went to roll it off the track, it kind of jumped off 3, and I bet I hit the same spot in the wall within 3 or 4 foot. That broke pretty much all the same stuff. It broke the rotor. I was going to try running that. That was the first lap, so I was going to try running the B. And after that caution, I went into 1, hit the brakes, and heard a bunch of clunking and stuff hitting the firewall. And had no brakes, so I just ran her up the track and pulled off. And that was pretty much the way the whole week went. I think we had decent speed down there. I mean, we weren't fast enough to be top 5 in the feature, but I think, you know, we should have at least enough speed to get into the features most nights, but just didn't have the luck to go along with it.
Biggest or most memorable B-Mod win?
Deer Creek would be one of them, just because I struggled at that place so bad. I still feel like I struggled at that place. There's something about that track. I just don't feel like I'm that good there. So Deer Creek definitely was one of the bigger ones. At Allison, one of the last races I ran at Allison for B-Mod. No, I guess I came back 2 or 3 years later and ran a couple of races. There's a couple of Ironman shows in Decorah that were definitely the highlight, getting to win an Ironman show like that. And the track I was running as a hometown track at that point was definitely one of my favorites.
Biggest or most memorable stock car win?
I'd probably say Decorah. They got 1,500 to win, 2,000 to win. Show every year. I've won that the last 2 years. It's definitely the biggest money win I've had in a stock car. And it's nice to do it, you know, in front of the hometown crowd. It's definitely fun to win races like that.
The car looks beautiful this year with that white wrap, and it looks like it's ready to go.
Yeah, it's ready to go. We're just waiting on Mother Nature at this point.
Who helps you at the shop on the car, and who helps you at the track to keep everything rolling?
It's pretty much just me and Dad. He comes out and works in the car out here, and he's at the track every night I'm there. A big part of what's kept me racing is him and I do it together. It's a good time to spend time with him and bond. Some people go fishing, and we go racing.
That's really what it's all about. And I also see that instead of the plain black car this year with the white wrap, you've got some great sponsors on board too.
Yeah, we got Northeast Iowa's been with us since 2016, I think. Northeast Iowa Motors and Cresco. And he helped me get K-Town Tap, a bar in Kendallville. And No Limit Diesel's been helping us out for 4 or 5 years now. And Fist Farm and Home came on 2 or 3 years ago. They've been really good to us. And Sanitation Resources came on last year. He's been helping out a ton. And I got U-Foamin on there, which is spray foam business I own. I think that's all of them. I hope I'm not forgetting somebody. Feel bad forgetting somebody when you only got a handful of names on there to begin with.
Jason, I tell you what, if the car holds together under the pressure that you put on that vehicle, you're always a factor to win wherever we see you. Good luck throughout the 2026 racing season. Can't wait to see you at a track near us, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime you see us at a track, stop down and say hi.
Shevlin Enterprises, your locally owned and operated sanitation and recycling service, offers commercial, residential, construction, and industrial trash removal and recycling in Owatonna and the surrounding areas in Dodge and Steele counties. Shevlin Enterprises also specializes in roll-offs and dumpsters. 2, 4, and 6-yard dumpsters for those smaller jobs, or 10, 15, 20, and 30-yard dumpsters for those big jobs. Contact Chris and his staff today for small-town service at a small-town price. 528-9900. That's 528-9900.
Altenburg Construction, backed by over 30 years of experience, is well known for slat replacement. Altenburg Construction now offers the Slat Vision Inspection System to help their customers determine when they should plan for a capital cost. Altenburg Construction also added a new demolition shredder that can take care of any old structures or farm sites, making way for a fresh start. See AltenburgConstruction.com or call 888-435-2210.
Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts. We make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See Bulldog Coatings MN.com. Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
Anderson Enterprises have changed their name. Velocities in La Center is your racer-owned local provider of apparel and promotional products. Velocities German-engineered 10-color screen printing machine will make your shirts pop. The screen printer can pump out 300 shirts per hour while maintaining meticulous quality. Screen printing, embroidery, signs, decals, wraps, and banners. Contact Velocities at 507-351-9244. Mention this Dirt Show ad and get 10% off your next order.
The definition of a race, a competition between two vehicles to see which is the fastest from point A to point B. Do you need it to be the fastest in a quarter mile, hold together with a big shot of nitrous, or last for 30 laps on an oval? If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service. We've been building engines for winners for over 50 years. Stop by and see us in Rochester today at 2915 20th Street Southeast, or call us at 507-282-5586. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Terrain changes, season change, but Honda ATVs, they show up ready. The 2026 4-Trax Rancher, Foreman, and Rubicon are back, just as reliable as ever. With available 4-wheel drive, automatic DCT, and independent rear suspension on select models, there's a Honda built for how you ride. Visit Primble's Cycle Center in Austin today and count on Honda to get it done. For your safety, read the owner's manual and always wear a helmet and eye protection. Honda ATVs are for riders 16 and older. Primble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Bob Allen, promoter at Arlington Raceway. And Bob, during the off season, I always do a lot of reading, a lot of racing research, and the strength of the IMCA sanctioning body. You look at all the different bodies that have come and gone over the years, or they've tried to promote races and they've never made it. The history of the IMCA is strong and remains strong.
The IMCA has been doing a fantastic job with the sanctioning throughout the country. I believe they're in pretty close to 40 states right now, the largest sanctioning body in the United States, and the depth of the promotions. One of the things that I've felt has been positive about IMCA is the national uniformity in the rules, where you can take a car from Minnesota and run down to Florida and race with it, or Arizona and race with it, in all of the states that are in between that are within IMCA. And that's something that is really lacking in a lot of the divisions around the country, especially when it comes to the weekly wage earner and the type of car that they're racing at their local shows.
The season opener at Arlington Raceway is Saturday night, May 2nd. And the opener has really become a family reunion. You get to see everybody again you haven't seen all off season. What classes of cars can fans expect to see again on opening night?
We'll continue on with the same classes of cars that we've run in the past. Our Hess Technology season opener, we'll have our best appearing car contest on that night, and we'll be racing our big track cars, which include the Jack Pines Resort IMCA Hobbies, the Coors Light IMCA Sport Compacts, the Olson Snowplowing and Lawn Care Outlaw Hobbies, our Arlington State Bank IMCA Northern Sport Modifieds, and the Rice Companies with the IMCA Race Saver Sprint Cars, as well as the B&B Racing Chassis IMCA Stock Cars, and the Automotive Tire and Repair IMCA Modifieds.
And Bob, you mentioned Hess Technology, opening night sponsor. You've got an incredible lineup of weekly sponsors throughout the season on Saturday nights.
We do, and we encourage anybody to go to our website and look at the schedule and look at those sponsors, not only as their names, but look at them as a reference. If you need those types of services, check out those sponsors, because they are the people that support the sport that you're very interested in. So they have a passion in it, in motorsports and auto racing, especially weekly racing at Arlington, the same as our race fans do. So if you get a chance and you need a service of any of those sponsors, make sure you check that out on our official website.
A couple nights that really caught my attention: Saturday night, July 4th, the Napa Fireworks Spectacular, and Saturday night, July 25th, Farm Fest Minnesota night at the racetrack, and that leads right up to Farm Fest in early August.
The Napa stores throughout southern Minnesota, there's a large number of Napa stores that are involved in our fireworks program at Arlington, and they've been involved with that display for a large number of years, and we do appreciate the Napa stores for being involved and doing everything that they can to make that night a big night this year. As you'd mentioned, Farm Fest is involved at Arlington, and it kind of kicks off their Farm Fest program. They've been sponsoring that night for a few years now, and we do appreciate Farm Fest involvement at the night at the track. And they're giving out some discounts to come on over and visit Farm Fest.
Something that always brings back great memories for me, the fair race at Arlington Raceway, Sibley County Fair. The grandstands are typically packed that night, and the drivers want to put on an incredible show.
Starting out on Wednesday night with the stock car shootout has been a great show. Guy Buellenwater and Justice Brothers getting involved in that night and helping to make that an extra special night. But the thing that makes that night really exciting is there's a lot of businesses and race fans that get on board to increase that payoff for the stock cars and the other divisions racing on that night. I think we've been as high as about $10,000 to the winner, typically in that $5,000 range, which is a pretty good payoff for the IMCA stock cars. And drivers look forward to it, especially the Southern Minnesota drivers, because it is a weeknight, and the racing event is always exciting on Saturday night. Central United and Supreme Wireless coming in for our Sibley County Fair race night. The extra electricity of the fair going on, and you know, there's some people that they made it to the county fair and would make it to the races once a year. That was kind of a passion to come out just for the fair events. And it is a great grandstand and a great event.
The nice thing is Arlington races through the month of September, so when other tracks close out their track championships, you get the opportunity to see some traveling drivers during the month of September.
That's true. We've had a lot of people comment both ways that, you know, some of them would like to see us shut down a few events and let the races go out and travel, but others like to see the opportunity of continuing on with that weekly show through September. And one of the things that we've noticed is there's a lot of different drivers that come in and participate in September, especially if their local track is shut down and they're chasing national points. The number of times that the national championship in IMCA has come through the Arlington Raceway with the extra points they're able to gather in September, whether it's a traveler coming in or if it's one of the local racers that's running for points, we've probably got close to 10 to 12 national champions coming out of Arlington in the different divisions over the years.
Bob, if they'd like to find out more about Arlington Raceway, what's the best ways to do that?
Well, for current events, make sure you check us out on the Arlington Raceway official page on Facebook. That one is going to have any updated information, like if it's something that's within the hour and you need to know, that's the place to go to check out on our Arlington Raceway official page on Facebook. And of course, our season-long information, including all of our great sponsors, you can go over to Arlington Raceway website and check us out there for information on the racing program.
Bob, thanks to you and Susan for all the years at Arlington Raceway, and thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you, Clay, and looking forward to our 46th year, and myself and Susan are also looking forward to Levi and Melissa. I have committed to step up a little bit more and take care of more of the activities at the racetrack, so looking forward to seeing how that works out as well, and it's going to be a great year at Arlington.
Batwing Chassis began like many other famous racing entities from a two-car garage in the small town of Ellendale. It all started with a group of friends racing their hand-built mini race cars on a homemade dirt track in southern Minnesota. The mini mods were creating a buzz as more and more drivers wanted to join the fast, affordable fun. In 2010, Nathan Kilwine founded Batwing Chassis. Today, Batwing Chassis continues to assemble precision, jig-built race cars for the Black Iron Manufacturing Outlaw Mini Mod Series. Drivers and fans can follow along by checking out batwingchassis.com. Fast, affordable fun, batwingchassis.com.
Race fans, while you're here in Knoxville, be sure to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. On race nights, we're open until the races are over, and you can find the latest sprint car apparel, books, and merchandise inside the museum store. Mark your calendar for Saturday, May 30th, for the 36th National Sprint Car Hall of Fame induction banquet right here in Knoxville. Tickets are on sale now in the museum store, and we'll see you at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum.
Midwest Collision. Midwest Collision.
If you have a vehicle accident, go with the pros. Midwest Collision in Faribault. Bob and his staff of experienced painters and body men have over 40 years of experience. Midwest Collision's paint matching capabilities and perfectly aligned body panels will make you forget an accident even happened. Call 507-332-2434. You bend them, we mend them.
Midwest Collision. You bend them, we mend them.
Does your car suffer from rough idling and stalling? Does it hesitate when you take off from the traffic light? If it does, it could be due to dirty fuel injectors. Clean your car's fuel injection system with Justice Brothers Fuel Injection System Cleaner. It cleans the important parts of your fuel system and helps to restore normal operation. And it's guaranteed to satisfy or your money back. Available wherever fine automotive products are sold.
See our display at Runnings.
Tell them Ed Justice Jr. sent you.
Arrow Race Wheels is a
leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Arrow Racing Wheels are built right here at our headquarters in Estherville, Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 30 years. You can't get any more American than that. See arrowracewheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
New for the 2026 season at the Fairmont Raceway, all youth in attendance will get a chance to register to win a four-wheeler that will be given away the final night of the season. How cool is that? So make sure you grab the kids, the wife, grandpa, and grandma, and head on over to the Fairmont Raceway starting Friday, May 1st. It's sure to be an action-packed season. Grandstands open at 5:30. Hot laps start at 7:15. We hope to see all of you at the Fairmont Raceway.
Welcome back, and I am joined by Darren Toot, promoter at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa. And the first event coming up is Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd. The USMTS, they are always fast on that black dirt.
Yeah, the USMTS is a crowd pleaser. Normally, wherever they go, you got the best of the best, and they put on a show. Black dirt gives us a little more challenge than some of these other places, but that's part of the game. I like the challenge, and between the four classes, I think it's 178 cars on the place. So we brought them back again this year.
Darren, I know you've spent 37 years behind the wheel of a race car. Will you be getting your car out again this year?
Well, there's a car in the shop. It has my name on the roof. Not going to lie, I'm dealing with some health issues that I have to conquer before I probably should get in and feel safe. The desire's still there. I enjoy racing. I got an older car sitting there. It's competitive. I put Jacob Dale in it periodically to drive, and he can drive it to the front. It can compete with the best of them. It's just that if my body allows me to, my health allows me to get back in it, I don't want to get rid of it, because if I can do it, I'm going to do it again.
June 12th, Friday night, the Spring Fling Sport Mod Nationals, and you guys have a bunch of great sport mods in that area.
Yeah, that's always a good one for us. It used to be a Tuesday show. Part of the deal with us taking the track over this year is, along with my trucking company, them weekday shows are a little tough to conquer and still manage a trucking company. So we moved it to a Friday show. We're trying to make every night that we run this year with a limited schedule a special night for a class or something. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on that particular show that has a history of being on a Tuesday. Any more in today's world that we're in, if a guy can get a full field of cars in any class anymore, that's a win for most tracks. You got a few of your premier tracks, call them what you want, that are fortunate enough to have huge car counts weekly, but there's a lot more tracks that have car count troubles. And being as we moved it to a Friday, hopefully we can have, I guess my goal would be 35 B mods there.
Friday night, June 26th, the Tri-State Late Model Spectacular. And what a great chance to see JT Wasman, who's coming off last year's series championship in the Tri-State Late Models.
Yeah, the late models have been always something we wanted to try there. Again, it's going to be a track prepper's challenge, I guess, best way to put it, because them tires and they're bigger engines, and they just eat up a lot of moisture in that track. So the same thing with the USMTS, a lot of horsepower, a lot of tire. You always want to try to maintain at least two lanes for them. And we took some banking out of it and reshaped it, put a shelf up on top so that not have to worry about, I don't know how many rollovers the previous 2 years that I ran it there. But the shelf eliminated that fear of going over either end of the corner and landing on your lid, because it was pretty steep down. And so, like I say, with the shelf up there, they have time to get it wowed up and turned down into the corner. I think they have a fairly good following, so we should have a really good car count. I think we're tagged up with Webster City that weekend, so it's a Friday-Saturday event for them to travel with. So that always brings more cars when you got two back-to-back or three back-to-back shows.
Fans that have not seen a snarling pack of stock cars on Hancock County Speedway are in for a treat on Friday night, July 10th.
Stock cars normally, no matter where you're at, we'll put on a stellar show. You put a little more money up on top there, or a little bigger trophy or something, and it brings more cars. And we got some weekly competitors that were national point chasers. And so when the money's on the line there, who shows up, in my mind, in my opinion, normally it will be the best feature of the night.
An annual event at Hancock County Speedway, Tuesday night, July 28th, the Black Dirt Nationals.
The Hancock County Fair has a long tradition of six-foot trophies. It brings the best of best just because of trophies, I guess. I don't know. It's a crowd pleaser. We'll have stellar car counts. And like I say, it's added money. Six-foot trophies in every class.
The season ends on Friday night, August 14th, with Night of a Thousand Stars.
Yeah, it kind of went back to the same, the original format on that a little bit, or I guess the tradition dates or whatever. We're going to just do a single day, Night of a Thousand Stars. Racers can come and race for big money on a single day and go home with big money. Hopefully we get a full grandstand and put on a spectacular modified show.
Darren, I always say this, if you're going to get out to the races, don't wait. Six events on a schedule at Hancock County Speedway in Britt. Get out and support the track. Get out and support the drivers. If they'd like to find out more about your schedule or any information about Hancock County Speedway, what's the best way to do that, Darren?
Well, we mostly use MyRacePass for all our schedules and everything like that. So you just go to MyRacePass and search Hancock County Speedway. All the info's there for every night, what it costs. We have camping there. So everything's available there. That's the best way. Phone number to get a hold of me is on the website there on MyRacePass. So yeah, like I say, to touch a little bit about that short schedule, I guess, please come out and support us. It's a deal where every track needs support in today's world. I get it. There's a lot of streaming. A lot of people can watch from home, stuff like that. That's good. I stream. I watch live streams myself. But the local tracks, the local weekly shows need everyone's support. It's a tough world out there right now. And I get it. It costs a lot of fuel to run up and down the road to go watch these places and stuff like that. But we need to support these racetracks, or if we don't, they fall to the wayside one at a time. And once they go away, they don't come back. The Fair Board wants this racetrack to succeed. They want it around. They enjoy that racetrack. We need a promoter. I'm going to throw this out there right now. I'm probably done after this year. So we need somebody to come in and take over. I'm willing to help anybody, but we will probably give the reins to somebody for next year. And like you say, hopefully somebody can step up. The Fair Board has always been good to work with. If a promoter wants to come in and rent the facility, they'll treat you right. So I'm asking you, the general public, and everybody involved, if you're a race enthusiast at all, six shows, please come out and support us and show us that we don't want Hancock County Speedway to go on the wayside. We want it here weekly or at a limited schedule at a minimum like what we're doing this year. We don't want to lose what we have of the good old days.
Darren, thank you for 37 years behind the wheel of a race car. Thank you for all the years of being a promoter, and thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Thank you, Acclaim. Thanks for doing what you do also. I always say that whenever we have a talk, because it means a lot that there's still stations and people out there that push for this sport. Like I say, you said the years, that's the only reason I'm doing it. I love the sport. I always have. So, yeah, come out and support us all. Support, I don't care if it's Hancock County Speedway or the next raceway. Go out and support them. Everybody needs it. That's all we can ask of you. Thank you. Never
know how. Warmer weather means more miles, and your engine needs protection you can trust. Right now at Knapp Auto Parts, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 Advanced Full Synthetic Motor Oil for only $34.99. Mobil 1 protects against engine wear, reduces sludge, and performs in extreme temperatures. Perfect for road trips, commutes, and more. Plus, buy 10 quarts and get a $15 Napa gift card. Power, performance, protection, and an extra $15 in your wallet. Stock up at Knapp Auto Parts. Offers valid at participating stores through April 30th. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Capabilities. Now that's a word you want to hear when it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, or ag electrician. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service, security systems, and much more. Coles Electric also provides 24-hour, 7 days a week emergency service. Because when you're down, it's costing you money. See the experts at ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
It's Pete the Sauce Man here to remind you that no grilling season is complete without the award-winning line of sauces from Cookies. Our original flavor made us famous, but we've got a sauce for every palate, including sweet hickory, tangy mustard, western, and wings and things hot sauce. And don't forget about our sweet and savory Korean barbecue sauce. It's the one that puts the Asian twist on some of our favorites like chicken wings, pork, seafood, and more. So get out there and celebrate the season of the sauce. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Reliability you can count on. Hi, this is Callie at Power Lift Doors by French Manufacturing. With few moving parts, our one-piece hydraulic doors are engineered for maximum uptime so you can focus on the field, not door repairs. The tight, secure seal keeps out snow and ice, protecting your valuable equipment and reducing your heating costs. See powerliftdoors.com or call 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miner's Outdoor.
Miner's Outdoor, your family-owned Husqvarna dealer, is the only preferred partner Husqvarna dealer in Minnesota and one of only 40 in the nation. Stop by Miner's in Blooming Prairie to check out the dependable Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. From trimmers and chainsaws to zero turns and tractor mowers, we've got what your yard needs. With over 20 years of product knowledge, we also service what we sell. That makes Miner's Outdoor your number one choice for lawn and garden.
Miner's Outdoor.
Major Tough.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And if you have a Fairway or a Hy-Vee grocery store anywhere near you, you've seen the Cookies meat products at the meat counter, all coated with flavor enhancer, ready to go on the grill. If people want to do that at home with their chicken thighs, their pork loins, even salmon fillets, how do they do that? Do they marinate it overnight?
Well, what I suggest, and I repeat using the word lightly, because too many people, and I hate to say that as a salesman, but too many people put too much of our seasoning on, and it's easier to add extra seasoning afterwards than it is to try to take it off. So what I do, like at pork chops, chicken quarters. Now, pork loin, you can season that a little heavier because you've got a lot of meat there. But like on chicken quarters, pork chops, chicken breast, stuff like that, season real lightly. And if you can, season it real lightly the night before, put it in your refrigerator covered, and then take it out the next morning or the next night whenever you're going to grill it, and then grill it. But if you have season it like the day ahead of time, the seasoning goes into the meat and makes it a lot more tender, and it's just a better way to do it. But also, so many of the Fairway and Hy-Vee stores, and you can ask them, but most of them use our Cookies Flavor Enhancer and all-purpose seasoning, and they season it up. And that's also kind of nice because it's grill ready. They've already seasoned it, and so you're in a hurry to get home. You light the grill. The meat is all seasoned, ready to go right on the grill. And that also makes a very tasty meal. So takes the strain out of it if you can buy it there already pre-seasoned. But if you've got the time, just buy a bottle of our Cookies Flavor Enhancer and all-purpose seasoning and season it the day before in your refrigerator, and then it's ready to go the next night. So again, just another quick and easy cooking tip from the world of cookies.
Speed, I know my wife uses Flavor Enhancer for just about anything she makes. If they want to find out more about your whole product line, what's the best way to do that?
They can also buy our cookbooks online, but just go to cookiesbbq.com and select the protein you're cooking and the sauce you want to use, and their recipe will be right there. So it'll turn the average cook into a renowned chef overnight. All you gotta do is just look on our website.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force load machines and develop the Ultra Force suspension software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at weirsmachine.com, ultraforcetech.com, and the all-new circletrackapp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
Hey, Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad installed, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, please let us know at Wolf & Sons. We have dump trucks, excavators, a backhoe, bulldozer to help you with your large or small projects around your house, farm, or business. Call Wolf & Sons today at 455-3524.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers and I own Foamcraft along with my husband Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable, custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at Foamcraft Packaging.
Hi, this is Tommy Meyer, and you're listening to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Kenny Schrader. If you got a race like I do, tune in to The Dirt Show.
Hey, this is David Noble, old number 75. You're listening to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.